Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Game 6 coming up this evening, 8:30, right here on Sports Radio 92.9. The game in the Odyssey.com app. Hawks and the Bucks as Atlanta looks to stave off elimination, send it back to Milwaukee for a Game 7 on Monday night. Here to get a good breakdown of both sides of this equation is Sean Devenny, NBA editor, Heavy.com. I've been reading this guy for a long time, dating back to his days as a Sporting News, and he joins us on the WadeFord.com hotline. Sean, always a pleasure. Thanks for popping on.
Thanks, Nick.
So, Sean, I'm curious your perspective. Giannis being out tonight, he's been ruled out. I don't know if we'll see him again at any point in this postseason. When you see this team from the Milwaukee standpoint without their two-time MVP, I have a hard time figuring out what they are. What do you make of this Bucks team without Giannis?
Yeah, I mean, it's still a very – some of the things that make them successful with him, they carry over without him. It's a very disciplined team that plays in a pretty structured system. Folks in Atlanta know what Mike Budenholzer is all about and sort of the pluses and minuses that come with the way he coaches. And they carry that over with or without Giannis. And so I think you do get sort of that structured defense. I do think that, you know, offensively they are obviously much, much weaker without Giannis in there. But they can still create open three-pointers. And as we've seen, if they get those looks and they're knocking them down, they can be real tough to beat. So, you know, they're much more of a wild card without Giannis. But you know, the structure of what they do is still there, as we saw in Game 5 there.
Okay, let's flip it to the Hawks side of the equation. Trae Young is questionable, hasn't played the last two games. What do you see from this Atlanta team when their 22-year-old star is not available?
You know, just the offensive punch isn't there. You know, I did think that you saw some things as the game progressed in Game 5 that were positive. Obviously, they still do have some other scorers, even if they don't have a guy who just kind of creates the center of gravity that Trae Young does, where he forces attention from the defense, and that creates so much for everybody else. Without him in there, you know, obviously they're lacking that. They, to me, the real thing that set them back in Game 5 was they didn't seem to know how to handle that out of the gate. You know, that was the thing, is that they really seemed to be, just struggling from the get-go, and then it was all uphill after that, even after they started to play better. You know, you have to hope, if you're Nate McMillan, that you can take sort of the second part of that game and watch the film and say, hey, look, you know, if assuming Trae doesn't play tonight, and we don't know, you could look at what happened in the latter half of that game and say, okay, let's look at what we did and come out of the gate with it, and realize that even if Trae isn't in there, even if he's not 100%, whatever it is, we can still score enough to keep up with these guys.
Sean Devenny joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. One of the things we were just talking about last segment, Sean, was Bobby Marks, former NBA GM, now with ESPN, had a real good breakdown of how the evolution of the Hawks has occurred over the last 4 years, looking at the draft picks, the free agency, and the trades. What does it tell you in an era where stars collaborate and join up to create super teams, that the Hawks are doing it somewhat organically and with only one true star?
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable. And, you know, it is a hallmark of this era that's sort of the way things go. But it is, encouraging, I guess, that especially here in the Eastern Conference and even what we've seen in the West with Phoenix, that you can have organic growth and be successful, that you can put all your eggs in the basket of a guy like Trae Young and say, okay, this is our guy. Let's find the right pieces to put around him, which they've done. You know, whether it's getting Clint Capella, obviously some of the perimeter shooters that they've added, Gallinari and Bogdanovich, who have been so key for them when they're playing well and when they're healthy. You know, those guys have been key, and obviously drafting guys who kind of support what Trae Young, even though, you know, guys like DeAndre Hunter and Cam haven't been 100% healthy all during the, but when you've got that group at its best, when you've got that group healthy, you can see how, you know, having a guy like Trae Young, again, that center of gravity, it makes it possible to build a team around him that can be successful. That's what the Hawks have. And you know, I would point out that Milwaukee's done much the same thing with Giannis. They've done it a little more heavily with free agency and trades. But you know, it's been the same. They've had a similar build. They obviously weren't a super team that LeBron decided he wanted to go to Milwaukee or whatever it is. They've sort of done it the old fashioned way.
You know, I feel like people in the know certainly realize coaching is important in the NBA, but I think the casual basketball fan says, oh, you got LeBron or you got Durant and Harden and Westbrook and whoever. Coaching doesn't really matter. Just roll out the ball. You got an all-star team. Mm-hmm. I kind of feel like Nate McMillan is really re-emphasizing the fact that, you know what, in the NBA, coaching does matter, because what he has done since March the 2nd, I think, is nothing short of remarkable.
And you know, the system matters, especially as you get to this time of year. You know, I think there's two elements of what Nate has done. One is, I don't think the players really bought into Lloyd Pierce. I think that was pretty obvious. You know, he's had so much respect as an assistant coach that just didn't seem to translate into head coaching, and maybe he'll get there eventually, but it wasn't happening in Atlanta. So, you know, I just think that the credibility Nate has, both in terms of, you know, what he was as a former player and what he's done coaching other teams over the years, Seattle, Portland, Indiana. You know, I think that he had a certain amount of, he commanded a certain amount of respect that I think Lloyd Pierce just wasn't getting. So there's that aspect of things. You have to be able to walk into the locker room of the team you're coaching and have absolute command of that space. And I think Nate does that in a way that Lloyd wasn't. And then a lot of it is system. I mean, Nate is, you know, when you look at the way Nate has coached over his career, where he's very defensive oriented in Seattle and Portland, you know, very much, you know, used to run the slowest pace year after year. You know, Nate's teams were always the slowest team. He went to Indiana and it was a different group, and he had to change the way he coached, and he did it. So many coaches can't do that. So many coaches have a system and try to squeeze the players they have into their system. Nate is very much, a much more flexible guy. And I think that finding the system, finding the right system for the players he has, I think that's been the big difference in Atlanta. So, you know, altering the system on one hand and then just commanding the respect on the other.
Sean, one of the big storylines kind of just looming over this Hawks postseason run is the future of forward John Collins. A lot of people think that he will get a max deal from somebody this summer on the open market. It feels like less than 50% of Hawks fans think it should be in Atlanta. What do you think the market will be for John Collins?
Yeah, he's going to get something close to a max deal, around a max deal. You know, when you sign a max deal with another team, it's going to be less than what you get when you sign with your current team. So he's going to give up some money that way. I think that's the way Atlanta's going to play it. You know, see what the market is for him. Let him find an offer, and then they'll have to decide whether to match or not. And you know, I think that the more likely thing is he'll find an offer, and they'll find a sign and trade to work out. I don't know if they want to commit. You know, it's going to be somewhere around 85, 90 million bucks over 4 years for him. You know, I just don't see that being something that the Hawks necessarily want to do. But if they can find a sign and trade, if they can get a trade exception, something like that, then that would be something that they could probably live with. You know, look, if they rally and they make the NBA Finals, Owners tend to be a little looser with the checkbook at that point. So, yep. There's a chance that they get to the NBA Finals and they say, we want to keep this group together, including John, and who's played very well, of course, during the postseason. But if the run ends here in the Eastern Conference Final, I think it's going to be it's less than a 50-50 proposition that they bring it back. I think if they get to the finals, it does increase, but it's still something they'd have to think about.
Sean Devenny is with us, WadeFord.com hotline. You can follow him on Twitter at Sean, SeanDeveney. Two quick ones before we get you out of here, Sean. CP3 finally makes the NBA Finals at this juncture of his career. I think the Suns will probably be the favorite, whether they play Milwaukee or Atlanta. What does this say about CP3's legacy? It felt like that was kind of one of the missing things on his resume, and I guess better late than never?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that was the glaring thing, is that this is a guy who, as great as he's been, as much success as he's had, has never really had the playoff success. Has always been disappointing in the playoffs, or has had bad luck. There was in Houston when they were up 3-2 a couple years ago over Golden State, he got hurt and wasn't able to play in game six. And of course, they lose that series in seven games. So it's good to see him finally get this chance. And you're right. That does change the legacy, change the way people will look at him.
Final one. It seems like, and I probably shouldn't say it seems, there are a ton of injuries to big names in this postseason.
Mm-hmm.
Is this definitively because of the condensed schedule, or is some of this just freak occurrence?
The NBA would certainly say it's a freak occurrence, and that and the league has said that injuries aren't that much worse, just going in terms of man games lost, that they haven't been that much worse in the playoffs. I don't really buy that, because we're seeing much more of the injuries to the star players, to the main players, some of which were problems coming into the playoffs, which don't necessarily count in the NBA's numbers. So a guy like Jaylen Brown for the Celtics never played in the playoffs. Of course, the Nets, all three of their big three had injury problems during the season. LeBron had injury problems. Anthony Davis. So you go back, and some of this goes to before the playoffs start. So the way the NBA is counting some of these games is a little skewed in terms of how their numbers are. I think there's no question that the condensed schedule is something that is directly causing the spike in injuries, especially to the guys who play a lot of minutes, the best players. Those are the guys who are seeing the injuries the most, and that's why we are where we are. And I know a lot of people want to blame Adam Silver for that. I think the thing you got to remember, though, Nick, and any NBA fans who want to say this was the NBA doing a money grab by forcing the season to start too early, the players agreed to this. The players had to sign off on this, and they did, because they make money too on this. So there's a temptation to blame the league for this, but the players had to agree to it, and they did. They universally did. So it's unfortunate, but I think everybody knew with the condensed schedule being what it was, that it was going to put people in harm's way when it came to injury.
Sean Devenny, NBA editor for Heavy.com. He's also the author of Greed and Glory, as well as Fun City. Always appreciate the insight. Thanks for the time, Sean.
All right, Nick. Thank you.
You got it. Sean Devenny joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, as we get you set for Hawks-Bucks Game 6 tonight. We got Hawk Talk coming up at 4 o'clock. You'll hear from Nate, from Bogey, and from John Collins. Kevin Chouinard of Hawks.com in just under an hour from now. We'll come back, give you a little radio replay. He's always entertaining. And if there was ever an interview where Charles Barkley was not entertaining, I need you to find me that tape so we can authenticate it that it was him, because I don't know that it exists. Charles Barkley on with Dukes and Bell. You'll hear him coming up next. Stay there.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.